Welcome to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. Mike is one of the nation's top realtors and is highly regarded as an authority in residential real estate sales. Mike Bell has nothing to sell but great wisdom. You're going to love this show. Now, here's Mike Bell.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. This is another great episode, and we're here again with Inspector Dan Leach, and we'll be talking about residential foundation retrofitting. My name is Abby Neverett, and I'm the Client Care Director for Mike Bell, and we are with you for the next hour. Mike is a licensed California broker here at Keller Williams International Realty in Pasadena. Mike is one of the top agents in the nation and is being featured in the Wall Street Journal as one of the top 1,000 agents out of over 1 million agents in the nation. What you need to know is that Mike has sold more than 99.9% of all agents. He's seen it all, and he knows how to get the best price and terms for his clients, and he works on referral only. He's been doing it for almost 20 years. Email us with your questions at mikebell@kw.com. Again, that's mikebell@kw.com. You can call us live at 888-GO-FOR-IT. That's 888-463-6748. Again, that's 888-463-6748. And Mike's personal cell phone is 888-401-1555. Again, that's 888-401-1555. And you can find him easily on the web at michaelbellteam.com. Again, that's michaelbellteam.com.
Abby, thank you very much. We're here on the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. We're here with Dan Leach. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Good. Oh, I want to correct something that Abby said. I haven't seen it all. Have you seen it all?
No.
I haven't seen it all.
No.
Every day there's something new.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, she just gave out your personal phone number to everybody.
Yes.
But I don't have that.
Now you do.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Abby. Appreciate that.
So we're on our third segment with Dan. Our first segment was we just talked about general home inspections. Last week we talked about foundations, the different types of foundations. You can go to our website, the Mike Bell Real Estate Show, or you can go to the MikeBellTeam.com, and you can stream these segments at home. It's pretty easy. There's a blue button. You just go to the archive shows. A lot of my clients like listening to this, and they take notes. That's what I'm told. I don't know what kind of notes they're taking, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've done that. I've pushed that blue button.
Well, last week we also talked about the history of home building with respect to foundations, different types of foundations, and today we're going to talk to Dan about retrofitting foundations. Yeah. So what does retrofitting mean? What does that word mean?
Well, when you're talking about foundations, it usually means doing something that will either strengthen or add some structural elements to an existing foundation that may need it.
And on your inspections, that's part of any home inspector. They're going to let you know what kind of retrofitting was done, or, you know,
if they're good. Yeah, they should. Yeah. When I do my inspections, if there has been some retrofitting done, I'll let them know that if it was done properly or what appears to be done properly, or if it has not been done and if it probably needs to be done, I'll recommend that be done as well.
I think this is a perfect show because we planned the show weeks ago. Mm-hmm. This past Sunday, we had an earthquake.
No.
We had a 4.4 at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
We had guests spending the night. We had family. And so the family stayed in the kids' room. So the kids were in my room. And we have this couch in our room. We had this pull-out sofa bed. Mm-hmm. And the kids were sleeping. And it woke all of us up. And my oldest boy said, "Oh, wow, Papa, did you do that? Did you do that?" I'm like, you know, I wish I was strong enough to do that. But there was a little bit of a roll and then kind of a thump. And
I never felt it.
Most people don't. Yeah.
No.
I was in bed at 6:30. I felt it. What were you doing at 6:30? Inspecting?
In the morning? I don't even know. Well, you know, I tell people, hey, if it didn't wake me up, it's not a real earthquake. So I didn't feel it.
So we have this really cool form in California. It's actually a booklet, and it's called the Homeowner's Guide to Earthquake Safety, and it's published by the California Seismic Safety Commission. It's about 50 pages long. This is actually pretty good reading, and if you'd like to get a copy of it, you can always email me at MikeBell@KW.com. I'd be happy to send you an email. But again, my email is MikeBell@KW.com. And I thought this was excellent. This booklet talks about, well, we're not necessarily talking about earthquakes in the show, but when you're retrofitting a foundation, are you doing it usually? You're usually doing it for seismic safety.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. Well, we don't usually have tornadoes out here in Southern California. We do sometimes, but not usually.
And, you know, inevitably, you know, earthquakes are a fact of life in California. It's just...
Yeah.
And we had big earthquakes. We had the biggest ones, I think. We had San Francisco in 1906 when pretty much the whole city burned down because...
Do you remember that?
No, no. I saw pictures, though.
Okay.
I think the latest big one we had was Northridge in 94.
I do remember
that's
that.
That's probably the biggest one. We had a huge one, the Sylmar one, or San Fernando earthquake back in 1971.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I was framing and building houses. Mm-hmm. I was framing a house up on top of the roof, and it was up in the hills of San Gabriel Valley. Mm-hmm. And that was when we did have one of the earthquakes, and it was the coolest, well, kind of bad for people that had damage, but when I was up there on the roof, I could feel it, but I could also see an actual the earthquake going through the valley. And it was the creepiest thing. It looked basically like you had bread dough, you know, or pizza dough, and somebody had a rolling pin underneath the dough and rolling it across. That's what it looked like across the whole valley. There was just this ripple that you could see. It was so bizarre.
That is,
yeah, that was during the earthquake.
That was 1906?
Yeah, Mike.
All right. Well, anyways, this book, I thought the book was great, and I think we'll hit a few of these spots in the booklet, but I thought it was good. It's a good start. Basically, the booklet talks about it's a good start to start strengthening your foundation now. It's a lot cheaper to strengthen your foundation now than try to fix your house later.
Yes.
And the codes always change. It seems like they always change after an earthquake because they learn uh-huh. more about earthquakes.
They do.
And, but let's go right into the types of foundations. We already did that on the last segment, mm-hmm. but let's talk about retrofitting your house
yeah.
and the typical kinds of foundations that you're seeing.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a foundation contractor, so mm-hmm. We're going to give this yeah. perspective from the perspective of an inspection. So we talked about the different types of foundations that you might have. So you might have a concrete foundation, monolithic mm-hmm. pour concrete foundation that may not have foundation bolts. And even the ones actually that do have bolts, if it was built, let's say 1934, 35, 36, or, you know, basically pre-1950, then it may need to have some retrofitting just to add some more bolts or some other structural elements to it to keep things together. So just because you might have some bolts doesn't necessarily mean that it wouldn't be a bad idea to have some more or some more.
How do you do that? How do you
do which?
Oh, how do you
retrofit?
on a monolithic foundation, add more bolts?
Okay. The way that they do it now, they for a while there, years ago, they were actually just drilling a vertical hole through the mud sill into the concrete, and then sometimes they would just go ahead and use what are called sleeve anchors or red heads. They're basically bolts that have a fitting on the bottom of them, so when you pound it down with a hammer and then tighten up the nut, it will expand that flange on the bottom into the concrete, and that's how it holds.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really do that so much more just in a single vertical bolt. They install plates or brackets that attach with a couple bolts into the mud sill and then two other bolts that are lagged into, or in this case, sleeve anchored into the concrete.
We did that to my house just yeah. because it was a lot easier.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get a drill bit up in.
That's part of it, yeah.
Over the mud sill. Now, the mud sill is the first piece of wood that's right on top of the foundation,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's number one, it's more difficult for them to do that kind of drilling. But number two, with the plates that they have, they're actually designed to be able to allow the house to move a little bit. So you're not making it quite so rigid. Just having that mm-hmm. plate connection allows the house to move maybe an inch or two without breaking things apart, without allowing it also to jump off of its foundation or to shift off of its foundation.
This booklet that we have, they have probably about 40 or 50 pictures of homes that have popped off their foundations. It's actually a pretty cool book.
Yeah. They're trying to scare you, I think.
It is pretty scary, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you're a foundation contractor, you'd want to have this book and bring it with you on your sales
calls. I think
calls.
So, yeah.
So we have that kind of a foundation, and we're talking about anchors and also these plates. Now, how mm-hmm. big are the plates? And you put them on sideways. on the side.
On the side, yeah, flat up against the side. And there's a couple different kinds. There's regularly just, well, there's an actual steel plate that just is, I don't know, you know, 12 inches, 14 uh-huh. inches by 14 inches square, and it has two holes that are drilled on the top.
Pretty heavy-duty piece. Seems like it weighs like a pound at least.
I think they're like, not quarter-inch thick, maybe 3/16 of an inch thick. So it's pretty good size heavyweight material. That's one of the plates. They also have Strong Tie, which is a company that manufactures a lot of structural fittings for framing. Mm-hmm. They have these other fabricated brackets that, in my opinion, are actually much better. And so those have adjustments that you can make so that if you're, let's say the mud sill, instead of being flush with the inside of the foundation wall, let's say it's set back a little bit, you know, an inch or two. Well, you can't just use a steel plate then because your lag bolts on the top aren't going to be able to get a nice tight connection. Mm-hmm. So with these other adjustable brackets, they can make up for that difference. So they're actually a better connecting system.
And they're actually curved a little bit, right?
They have a curve to them, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of a curve. Mm-hmm. I have a 1914 house, and it was just too hard to do those lag bolts straight through. I'd have to open up some of the walls inside my house to be able to run a big hammer drill down to – it just didn't make sense. So we used the plates.
They're better.
And we did – it seemed like – I don't even know what it was, every 3 or 4 or 5 feet. Mm-hmm. But this was 10 years ago. The code has probably changed since then.
Yep.
This booklet that we have is from 2005, and I bought the house – before that, so I don't know what the code was like, and I don't know what's changed. But
I think the information in there is still valid.
Yeah.
And but of course, yeah. Every time we do have earthquakes, or not even then, sometimes the engineers just come up with some new ideas, and it gets implemented into pretty much the standards of practice.
Well, it makes sense to retrofit your house now rather than later. One of the arguments they have in here is that after an earthquake, there's usually a shortage of available licensed contractors and engineers in an impacted area.
Oh, yeah.
For obvious reasons.
That's a whole slew of problems that you get with any kind of natural disaster, actually. If you look at Hurricane Katrina, or anytime you have a lot of homes that are damaged, the good guys are out there. But then you get all these other guys that come out of the woodwork that are not licensed contractors that will ream people for everything that they have. Number one, they're going to charge you more than they should. Number two, they don't know what they're doing, so you're going to get substandard and shoddy work.
My retrofit 10 years ago was relatively inexpensive. There was two guys that went underneath the house with maybe 40 of these brackets with a hammer drill, mm-hmm. and they drilled sideways into the cement, and then they screwed into the mud sill these plates. They were there for 2 days.
Yeah.
It's about $3,000. It wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of clients that are just they get so worried when you – it's an F word, the foundation. They think it's so expensive.
F word.
It's really not that expensive. It's usually not really that expensive.
It's not.
But it depends. We're going to be talking about some other foundations here that can get pretty expensive. So it sounds like that's the cheapest way to that's going to be the least expensive retrofit on a single family residence,
yes.
which is what we just talked about.
That's it. Yep. That's under good conditions.
Now, so let's talk about the next kind of foundations. We have the stem wall foundations with post and pier.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different.
Not really. I mean, that's pretty much what we're talking about. If you're talking about a concrete foundation.
Well, we had the post and piers too.
Yeah, because unless you have a really, really small, narrow house, you're going to have some kind of interior support posts for the girder beams.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where your post and piers come with the piers and being the concrete and all that. So it's pretty much the same application. If the foundation is in good condition overall, if it's not deteriorated really bad, and if it's a concrete foundation, then you're still going to put the plates on the inside of the foundation walls. They also might attach some brackets or some plates or A35s, which are TECO clips, to the connections of the posts and the beams. They might also connect those from the little mud sill piece that's sitting on top of the pier, concrete pier, to the post as well. What we want to do is just make sure that all those, you know, maybe hundreds of connections don't come loose during earthquake movement.
Makes sense. We're going to go into our first break. We're here on the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. We're here with Dan Leach. We're talking about retrofitting single-family residential foundations, and we'll be right back.
Now, back to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Mike Bell.
Welcome back to the show. You've got Mike Bell here. I'm here with Dan Leach.
Hey.
And we're talking about residential real estate and home foundations and how to retrofitting them. Just very, very basics. Let's talk about cripple walls.
Let's
we talked about that on the second show that we had with you last week. But what's a cripple wall and how do we retrofit that?
Should we go bada bing?
Bada bing.
Bada bing. What's a cripple wall?
What's a cripple wall?
It's not a wall that walks with a limp. No, it's not. Okay.
God.
All right.
No more mileage on that, man.
No. I'm sorry. Well, we'll move on. All right. A cripple wall.
Yeah.
All right.
Look at this picture.
Let me look at the picture
and
see what they have actually drawn here.
It's pretty scary.
It's not scary.
It looks like a picture from the 70s, though.
Yeah. Well, it's
an older house.
We pretty much build the same way. There really isn't any difference.
And between the ground and the first floor of the house is maybe 2.5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole section just buckled over. So the whole house basically fell.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong picture.
This picture here.
Oh, that one. Yeah. 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 And you know what? The people on the lower level are really, really short.
Look, the people shorter. On the lower level is the inspector underneath the house.
You know, really? Really?
Actually,
I actually do have fears of that, being underneath when we have an earthquake. Number one, nobody would come to get me. I would just be down there. And number two, I'd be squished like a flat pancake.
Seems like a pretty dangerous job, actually. I mean, being underneath there, stuff that you could, there's nails that you have to go around. I mean,
there's a lot of stuff down there. I have, you know, firemen think they have it bad. Cops think they have it bad. But I think I have it worse. I mean, really, if you think about all the dangers and dangerous things that I have, you know, dirty jobs, Mike Rowe, he had nothing compared to this.
Well, I think on our first show, you're talking about this disgusting story about being covered in fleas.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Geez.
That's not so bad, actually. But, yeah, there's times when I'm underneath the house and I have to crawl through spaces that are really, really tight. And sometimes I get through there and then I can't figure out how to get back out because it's a different angle.
Well, I would think the newer code would allow, there's a requirement of how much space is supposed to be underneath the house.
Yeah.
Crawl space so you can do.
There is now.
There is now, but it wasn't really like that 100 years ago.
No.
I'm fortunate. My house, there's at least 3 feet all the way around.
Yeah, that's great.
Relatively easy, but I've never been underneath my house.
Really?
I wouldn't want to go.
You want to go after the show?
No, I'm not interested at all.
I got an extra coverall for you.
I'm not interested at all.
It's fun.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I don't know. It would seem, I guess, I don't like spiders. I don't like tight spaces. It's so dusty. It takes forever. You got to crawl.
Yeah. That's why they call it a crawl space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I'd imagine it'd be pretty dangerous, especially if there's an earthquake.
Yeah, well, we don't have that many earthquakes. I mean, even though people think that California gets them all the time, we really don't, at least not everywhere.
Well, on a raised foundation, you've got electrical conduit. In the olden days, they didn't really cover it.
Yeah.
They didn't cover the electrical wire. There's a lot of knob
and
tube.
There's knob and tube, yeah.
So you can get electrocuted.
Yes. Hold on. I'm not sure if I want to do this job anymore. You're starting to make really sound really bad.
You have to go over sometimes asbestos-laden air conditioning and heating ducting.
Say that again.
I know.
Say that. No,
you only get it once.
Say that word.
You only get it once.
I just want to hear how you say it. How'd you say it?
Asbestos laden HVAC ducting.
All right. Well, you emphasize the O as asbestos. I've never done that. I just say asbestos.
Asbestos.
Yeah. But maybe that's a back east, you know, thing.
What else do you have to traverse underneath the house?
Well, sewer pipes that are leaking.
What? Daniel's saying something.
Daniel? Dead animals.
Dead animals.
Dead animals. Yeah, I don't mind the dead animals. Skeletal remains. Yeah, I've never come across a human. I'm kind of looking forward to that at some point. I don't want to do this job forever. I mean, it's a good job, but I don't want to do this forever. Actually, if I die during one of these horrible things that you're talking about, then it really won't matter anyway. I could be electrocuted. I could be one of those skeletal remains.
Well, usually the buyer's there, right?
Not always.
I mean, sometimes I would assume probably you've done inspections. You're the only one there at the house?
No. No. Somebody's always there. I don't really feel comfortable being there just by myself because, you know, just for liability reasons, it's always better to have somebody there to, you know, make sure that nothing goes wrong.
Do you have a special tap knock?
Tap
SOS?
No.
If you're down there?
No, I don't.
Help me.
I should. And sometimes when you're down there, you can yell, but nobody can hear you.
Nobody's going to hear you.
Yeah. I hear people walking up above me, especially if they have hard shoes or women with their high heel shoes, you know, they're tapping up above me, but they don't hear me.
Well, let's talk about cripple walls.
Okay.
We talked about, cripple wall. What is a cripple wall and how do you retrofit that?
Okay. Cripple wall is just basically it's a wood frame stud wall that's built on top of the foundation wall to make up the difference between where the foundation stops and where the floor joist elevation is. That's all it is, just a wall. And the reason why it's important to have, well, what they do on retrofitting on cripple walls, if there's no diagonal bracing, then they'll put either some kind of diagonal bracing or they'll put shear wall paneling. And here again, that's just to make sure that...
What is shear wall paneling?
Plywood.
Okay.
Well, not just plywood. It can be OSB, oriented strand board, which is...
Usually it's stamped. I've seen a stamp, it'll say structurally rated.
Yeah. Usually it's either 3/8 inch or a 1/2 inch thick.
And there's usually a special nail, and it's a special nail pattern, meaning the perimeter. I don't know what it is, but there's usually, you know, the code. I mean, you're supposed to have a permit for all this. You can be a,
really?
A do-it-yourself.
Do they pull permits? Do they retrofit?
I don't think everybody pulls permits in Pasadena, but
I think
it's a good idea to do it.
I mean, any work that you're doing, you should pull permits for. But I just, you know, actually, now that you say that, I'm not sure if they're required to.
Well, there's no point of sale retrofit requirement that I'm aware of for retrofitting a foundation. But there's
Correct.
Retrofit requirements for toilet, shower heads, you know, gas, all these different things for different municipalities. There is actually a type of it's not really a foundation retrofit requirement, but there's what's called a soft story retrofit requirement in Santa Monica, and that's where you have a room over a garage. And if there's a garage, those tend to sway back and forth.
Right.
And after I graduated from college, I spent a summer with my stepfather, who was a general contractor, and we used to drive down to Santa Monica all the time. Hmm. He got so much business. He was the short sale. That's another show. He was a soft story retrofit specialist contractor, and he must have done 300 or 400 of these
really?
Homes out there. And it basically, it was just
great job.
It's basically a cripple wall, really.
Yeah, that's all it is.
But
it's
happens,
a taller one.
It just happens to be 8 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And he went in there and retrofitted all of these, including having to strengthen the foundation that's in the dirt, mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah. Great gig, man.
That was for him.
Yeah.
I was cheap labor.
Well, that's why you have kids.
He's like, you'll thank me later for the education you're getting.
Mm.
It's been 20 years.
See how helpful that was? You've asked me what cripple walls are now twice. And you still don't know. Do you know now?
I do know now. You know, I'll tell you
I'll tell you where you're going to find a cripple wall. Underneath your house. If you crawl underneath there, you'll see four of them.
Four cripple walls?
Yeah, because it'll be on all four sides of your house.
That's true.
So maybe you should do that.
One thing I did learn is that I didn't want to do it. I was digging and mixing cement with a college degree, and I realized, you know, this is pretty okay now. But
oh, so his job wasn't good enough for you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's so people much. That are hard workers and labor all day, that's not really...
We all have choices. I chose not to do it. There's nothing wrong with it. I was not very good at it. Let's put it that way. So I decided to put set to something else.
Did you know which end of the shovel to use?
Barely.
Okay. Well, I think you made a good choice then. All right.
All right. So we talked about post and pier foundations.
Yes, we did.
Let's talk about unreinforced masonry.
Okay, you know what? I'm starting to feel like I'm at a deposition.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm just getting questions.
Sorry
just
about that.
Shot at me all over, and now I'm getting nervous. Am I going to get these answers right?
Do I look
right?
like an attorney?
Yeah, actually, you do.
You're sounding kind of guilty here, Dan.
Is my eye twitching? I think it is twitching
my
a little
twitch
bit.
Because I have to work with realtors all the time.
You know what? I'm not even going to go there. I think I might have said something on the last show. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we'll just.
I think I helped it too.
I love every realtor that I work with.
Was it the joke about the realtors?
No, don't say that.
All right.
Yeah, we already passed by that.
All right, not fair.
It's you know what? They're the reason why I'm in business, quite frankly. So,
mm-hmm.
because they call. For their clients, so I can do a fantastic inspection for each one of their clients.
You do a very good job.
Thank you.
I've been very, very happy with it. So, unreinforced masonry could
yes.
be brick, concrete block, stone. Are they very good foundations? Usually not, right?
Old ones. Well, yeah, the problem with unreinforced masonry is that it doesn't have any rebar, and we talked about what mm-hmm. rebar is in our last show, so I won't go into that. But, yeah, because they're old... They deteriorate, and when they deteriorate, they don't have the structural stability that they originally had, and that means that you're going to have some problems with maybe your floors are going to be settling, or maybe your floors are going to be spongy because it's just floating in air. Yeah, that's a problem.
So what's the best way to retrofit a masonry-type foundation?
Buy another house.
Or tear it all out?
Just tear it all out.
Yeah.
No, actually, that's really not the right answer. Okay, so if you have a masonry foundation, all right. If you have a masonry foundation, there's a number of a couple approaches that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Oh, you know, I want to back up a little bit because we talked a little bit about foundation contractors during cataclysmic episodes like big earthquakes and all that. How many of these guys are out there that are non-contractors or just shoddy contractors that rip people off? And that really bothers me because I see a lot of that happening. But it's really important that whoever you talk to about doing retrofitting, well, anything on your house for that matter, but especially retrofitting, make sure that you get somebody who has been doing it a long time. Make sure that it's not just somebody who is a contractor, but, oh, yeah, I can do that. Because, number one, you're probably going to end up spending more money than you should if you just went with a person who does it all the time. And, number two, the guys that do it all the time, they're legitimate. They will take the proper procedures to actually get it done properly for you, and they're going to get it done quick. And I hear horror stories too about people who hire, Johnny's neighbor, he's a contractor, and he can go ahead and do that for you. And they end up in the long run spending more money than they should have, and it takes a whole lot longer, and a lot of times they don't even get the job done.
It's the same logic with picking a realtor, a dentist,
pretty much,
a surgeon,
pretty much, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah,
it's amazing that people will just hire their buddy or somebody who just got a real estate license to handle one of the biggest transactions of their lives, and they do the same thing for contractors.
Can you imagine if under those
doesn't make sense?
Can you imagine if you hired me to do an inspection and I had only done one inspection in my life?
No, it doesn't make sense to me.
No. Now, how did I start?
But you had to start.
I had to start. But I had a construction background.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't fall out of the sky and come into this business.
Well, I know it's kind of it's just human nature. I think people like to hire their friends and family members and give the listing to somebody and just help somebody out. When at the end of the day, this is a pretty big investment and
scary.
I would definitely hire you over most people. That's for sure. Because there's a lot of, you got white hair. Hey, that's what it takes, baby.
All right,
hey, we have to break to a commercial. Sorry, Dan. You're on the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. We're here with Dan Leach. We're talking about retrofitting residential foundations, and we'll be right back. Dan's going to get me.
Let's get back to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Mike Bell.
Welcome back to the show. We're here with Dan Leach. We were talking about residential retrofit foundations. Sorry, did I blow off your ears?
Yeah.
Your earmuffs,
what?
Daniel?
What?
I know. Sorry
I can't
about
hear
that.
You. What?
All right. We're on our third segment. This is great. I did a show.
I think we were talking about my white hair, actually.
We're talking about your white hair?
The break, yeah.
Uh-oh,
that's a sign of intelligence and virility.
You're on fire. Right
now. Yeah, I am. As a matter of fact.
Oh, boy. I did a show on contractors, actually. I had to hire a contractor about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, and it's on my archives, actually.
Was he good?
He was very good.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
How'd you find him? How'd you decide on
his
that
name
contractor?
His name is Jamie Bisner. He's his father is actually a very well-known architect, or his grandfather. Is it his father or his grandfather, Bisner?
I think it was his grandfather.
And actually, there was a house that got remodeled in Pasadena about a year ago, and they featured that in the Wall Street Journal mansion section.
Hmm.
They always pick. Once a week, they're always picking a house that got remodeled, and they talk about the process. But it was Jamie's grandfather that designed it. But he's a general contractor. But he's the kind of guy that kind of goes in after the first contractor screwed up. And
he's a fix-it guy.
He's a little bit of a fix-it guy. He also helps. He helps with lawsuits. He knows how to pick apart what they did wrong, and he had a lot of great advice. So,
that's kind of what I do too. I kind of go and pick apart what's wrong.
They have great shows on that on TV, too.
I know. I hate those shows. You know, when we're talking about, here again, hiring people to do work, I think this is really important because so many people, here again, they kind of slough it off. They don't really do the investigation that they should. I did an inspection last week. I was just called just specifically by this homeowner just to inspect the foundation area.
Oh.
And I normally don't do that. I normally just do a complete inspection on the entire house, but it was because the agent who represents her, I've worked with for years, and so I'm like, okay, I'll do it for her because you know I want to keep a good relationship with her, and that's fine. So I went out and I inspected the foundation. Well, she had had another individual out there. I don't know if he was a contractor, and maybe not, but he was doing some work on the door jamb and the door threshold.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go underneath the house, I guess, to do some repair work or some structural support underneath the threshold because there was dry rot. So then he went underneath the house, and then he came back out, and he told this poor lady, well, your foundation is falling apart, and it needs all this work. And this is the strange part. He spent a bunch of time, and he brought in all these 2x4s and 2x6s and did all this supposedly, quote-unquote, restructuring.
Mm-hmm.
90% of what he did was totally unnecessary. And the other part that he did was actually wrong. So there was really nothing that was right about what he did. And so when I got underneath there, I was like, my goodness, it looked like a maze. All these things that were done that were just really, really wrong. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, she had the wherewithal to get somebody out there to look at it, a third party, because if she had gone ahead and gone with this guy, it just would have been an absolute mess. I mean, there was dry rot damage that was mostly underneath the porch. There was water leaking.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, there were some issues with the foundation, but the areas of the foundation deterioration, he wasn't even dealing with. He was dealing with other areas that were really not even, I mean, there were still problems, but not really what he was addressing. So that could have ended up costing her thousands of dollars to have that repaired, quote unquote, by this guy. And then somebody else would come through and say, well, it's all wrong. We had to tear it all out. So she would have paid double or maybe even triple for the job that should have just been done right. So it's really important to get somebody who knows what they're doing.
It's a recurring theme, even with selling houses. I mean, I have, the last few years, I've tended to specialize in homes that didn't sell the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the second listing agent. Sometimes I'm the third listing agent. And the stuff that the other agents said, I mean, I'm going to do a show on the most shocking quotes that realtors say, the shockingest thing that realtors say.
I'll keep my mouth shut. I'm in trouble, I think, already.
But it's kind of scary. It's
you mean claims?
Claims, or just some of them will just, a realtor will come into your house and say, for example, I'll do an open house until it sells. I'll do an open house every week until it sells. That sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like they're going to work really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of sellers don't realize you have a 4% chance of selling your house because of an open house.
Yeah.
And the realtor is going to use your front room to showcase themselves, and they're going to go out and they're going to be able to meet all your neighbors and looky-loos and people that are on their way to get a hamburger,
mm-hmm.
thinking that they're going to maybe buy a house. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Open houses don't really sell houses.
What do open houses do?
Well, I don't know. Maybe some people are casing out the house. I don't know. Maybe some people are going in trying to steal prescription medication because that's the number one thing that gets stolen out of a house.
God, that's scary.
Open houses.
That's scary.
I'm
never
going to
have my house open.
So you have to be really careful with open houses. But you're talking about, you know, how important it is to hire the right person.
Mm-hmm.
I get phone calls from people that are – I have we talked about this last week. We have a I'm helping a lady sell her house in Colorado. She says she wants to hire a Mike Bell,
mm-hmm.
but she doesn't know how to find him because everybody has – there's a lot of realtors that they're just pretty smooth talkers.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly being told by the attorneys that work with me and my clients that I talk differently. It's
you have a southern drawl.
No, I say things that are a lot different than the textbook sales stuff that mm-hmm. realtors say. And I back up all of my stats I back up everything I say basically with stats.
Mm-hmm.
I give testimonials. I do a lot of things differently than a lot of realtors do. But I tell people all the time, and this is a free complimentary nationwide service I provide. If you want to hire me, I don't care where you are in the nation, you can call me. I will find a Mike Bell for you. I'll find somebody who has the value system, the work ethic, the capabilities, the success, the experience, and I'll patch you together, and I'll get you the interview.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it together, and I'll make sure that person will not spend, they'll leave after 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about me connecting you with somebody in my network that's going to come to your house with a sales contract and harangue you and give you a bunch of malarkey trying to get you to sign a list, and you're going to get somebody that's like me. So, you know.
Well, sounds like a good advertisement for the Mike Bell.
That's
Mike Bell
out
real
there.
Estate team, yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's hard to find a really good.
Anybody. Yeah.
Okay. And you're a perfect example. You don't really have a website.
No.
But you're the busiest inspector that I know.
Hmm.
So do you really search for an inspector with a website? No, not necessarily.
No.
Same with real estate. Real estate agents, there's some realtors that have fantastic websites. I wouldn't hire them to sell a doghouse. I'm sorry, I just wouldn't. And then there's some fantastic realtors that have no website.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a way of finding them, and I can find them for you, and it's free.
Right.
So,
great.
Let's go to we have two emails we have to answer, but I also want to talk about retrofitting Masonry Foundation. Let me see. What is this? I have Mark from Spokane, Washington. Can you talk about gutters and how important they are for foundations?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
– yeah. Well, gutters are really, really important. Especially in areas, well, if you're in Washington, that means you get a lot of rain. We don't get much rain here in California. We had actually a rainstorm last week or the week before, and everybody freaked out. But in areas where you do have a lot of water, and actually even here, we have some problems, but important to have proper gutters installed on your roof and make sure they drain properly away from the house. That's also a big issue where they have gutter downspouts that drain right near the foundation. Mm-hmm. And then they wonder why they have water pouring underneath their house or seeping through into their crawl space or right through the foundation wall. They wonder why there's deterioration on their foundation stem walls. Well, because of water. So having extensions on the downspouts, is really, really helpful. Just having gutters in general is really, really helpful.
Gutters aren't that expensive.
They're cheap. Don't get the cheap ones, though.
Oh, yeah, when you go to one of those home-type places.
Don't get the plastic. They work okay. But after a couple of years, they kind of deform, and they just don't really work all that well. It's better to really – I'm not trying to be an advertisement for the seamless gutter people, but the reality is those will pretty much last 20 years or so if you get a good company out there who does good installation. And they look good. They're usually the right color. You don't have to paint them because they have a baked-on finish, and it's just a better way to go. But the whole function of the gutter is to drain the water away from the house so it doesn't get up near your house or cause damage to your house or your foundation.
I have an internal gutter system on my house. I have a rolled roof. It's an old 1914 Craftsman.
So lip rolls
so
up at the edge.
Lip rolls.
Yeah.
But I've got a lot of clients that have decided to get a gutter, a seamless gutter.
Mm-hmm.
This guy pulls up in a truck and he's got this spool of metal.
It's incredible. Yeah.
It's incredible. And they can, I don't know how big the spool of metal is, but I mean, really you don't have houses that are bigger than 200 feet, but he says he's got 200 feet of this metal.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do one piece of one gutter. And he just forms it right there in his truck. It's pretty cool.
It is, and they have different dies, so they can do a different template if you want, not just one template.
Yeah, you could do a whole house in a few hours.
Yeah. Well, but see, they do it all the time.
Yeah,
so they can come in and they do it. They come in and they do it right, and they charge you a reasonable price, but it's you get what you pay for.
So Spokane, that's dear to my heart. I went to Gonzaga. We're going to be in the we're a number 9 seed. And if we beat Oklahoma, we get to play Arizona, who's the number 1 seed.
I don't follow sports. So what sport is that? Football?
Backgammon.
Oh, horseshoes?
Horseshoes and backgammon.
I mean, really, what sport is that?
Come on, you got to follow some
sports. I don't.
I
really
don't. Football?
I used to play basketball, but it doesn't mean
okay.
I thought it was okay, but I don't follow basketball.
How about Super Bowl? Did you watch the Super Bowl this year?
No. Maybe 10 minutes.
Gonzaga won it all. All right.
They didn't go to the Super Bowl. I know at least that much. God, not an idiot, Daniel.
What?
You just called me Daniel?
No.
I'm insulted.
Hey, Daniel, you're all right. I don't care what Mike says about you.
Oh. Come on, Daniel.
Look at the source.
Come on. Ooh. Jeez Louise.
All right.
Is this supposed to be like a triangle here where like you and I are talking and then he's supposed to give zingers back there and then we're supposed to respond?
Why don't we insult Dave in Chicago?
I'm not insulting Dave.
I don't think that's a good idea.
No, I don't think so either.
Listening.
He's got the kill button.
I know.
We could be off the air.
He's probably changing all the He's probably turning us into those
he's changing our
chipmunk voices.
Dave said, yes, he does have the kill button.
And he's not afraid to use it.
All right. Let's talk about retrofitting masonry foundations. We got a minute before our next break.
We'll talk really, really fast like a chipmunk.
Tear it out, or there's something called a sister foundation. What's a sister foundation?
I was going to come up with something, but nothing came to mind. Sorry.
Clean.
Yeah, it wasn't clean, so I had to throw that one out. No, a sister foundation is really just that. It's just it's another foundation that they leave the original foundation in place, and then they use some form boards to form a space where they can pour in new concrete on the inside of the house, right up next to the foundation. So all you're doing is just pouring a new foundation, but you're not removing the old one. And then they'll put foundation bolts in there and brackets and ties and whatever else.
You're kind of getting two foundations.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. And they do that a lot of times when they either have a stone foundation or they have a brick foundation. Another way that they can also do retrofitting on older foundations that have problems is what's called a shotcrete. Or gunite. Very similar to what they use when they install swimming pools and they shoot it out of a gun. And they do that a lot, especially more so with stone foundations.
Interesting. We're going to go into our next break. You're here on the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. We're here with Dan Leach. We're talking about retrofitting foundations, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show on TalkZone.com. Here's Mike Bell.
And we're back. This is Mike Bell. I'm a real estate broker in Pasadena. You can reach me by emailing me at MikeBell@KW.com, MikeBell@KW.com. I'm here with Dan Leach. He is a home inspector. And Dan, how do people reach you?
Oh, yeah, you can either reach me by phone. My phone number is 626-914-9114. Again, 626-914-9114. Or you can email me at aqi@email.com. That's aqi@email.com.
I think we talked about this last few. You did 15 billion inspections. No, you did 12. You've done about 12,000 home inspections.
Pretty much, yeah, give or take.
You did one this morning.
I did. Yeah. Nice house. Good shape. No foundation problems.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. That's usually not
spiders.
The case.
Any spiders?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
You know, the spiders are usually not all throughout the whole crawl space. They're usually at the entrance because that's where their food source is. So they're not going to be all, okay, there's exceptions to that. Old houses like yours, a lot of times they're all throughout the whole crawl space.
Why would you say that about my house?
I've never seen it, but I'm making an assumption.
Okay.
Based on, you know.
How about rats? Do you think I have rats too?
Do you think next time?
This is really going well.
Next time I'm here, I want a padded chair because my butt's starting to get a little sore. You probably do have rats at your house.
It's the McDonald's philosophy. I don't want you to stay too long.
They're 20-minute chairs.
Yeah, I just want you to eat and leave.
But we have an hour show, so shouldn't it be an hour chair?
It's not that bad.
It is bad because I have no. I keep in shape, so I have nothing down there for padding.
What were you saying, Daniel?
I wanted to hear about what he was going to say about rats.
Go ahead and pile it on. I don't have rats.
Oh, no, I bet you do. If you have an old house, you probably do. If you would crawl underneath your house every so often, you would be able to see rat droppings. And maybe you might be able to see some eyes down there if you shine your flashlight around.
Oh, gosh.
Now, why do they have a tendency to come to older houses?
Usually there's more openings than an older house. And older houses, because they're usually on raised foundation, there's space down there for them to get to. And they live down there. Oh, do you know, when you see like in a crawl space underneath the house or up in the attic area, if you see a lot of snail shells, you know why?
No.
Not because the snails go down there, because the rats eat the snails. So they'll go into like ivy and they'll grab the snails and they'll go underneath the house and they chew on them. It's escargot, man.
The next house I buy, if there is ever any ivy, I would get rid of all the ivy. That's where the rats
live. Hate ivy.
I hate ivy.
It's disgusting.
It's a 70s thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Groovy.
I don't like it. Hey, we're talking about unreinforced masonry, and in our break we were talking about shotcrete.
Yeah.
And the application. How does it work? How does it get applied? I thought that was pretty cool.
I don't know.
All right, let's go on to the next topic.
No. I mean, Kai, you're going to force me. You're going to twist my arm. I'll tell everybody. Do I get paid extra?
No.
Okay.
You're doing this for free. But aren't you? What your agents say?
Yeah, I think they. It's pro bono. Is that the right term?
Yes.
Thank you, Daniel. All right, we'll talk about Shot Creek, and don't look at him. Look at me.
All right, so you
gaze into my hazel eyes.
You got a brick foundation. You want to make it stronger.
Yeah.
Your house is laying on a bunch of bricks. How does Shot Creek do that? Shooting concrete.
It's a good image. My house is laying on a bunch of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pretty much is.
Yeah, it is. All right. This is what they do. They will come on in, they being the concrete foundation retrofitting contractors, mm-hmm. and they'll actually shoot this material. It comes with a hose, and they have a special fitting on the end. It's they use, I guess, compressed air to force it through. Mm-hmm. They have a big truck machine out there, and probably in your driveway or out on the street with a big hose, and they go underneath and they shoot the stuff on. It's concrete. It's cement. And they have to build it up. Very, very similar to what they do when they build a swimming pool. They build it up with shotcrete or gunite or whatever the term they're using. And they'll build it up a certain thickness. And then as they're doing it, they'll also make sure that they have foundation bolts that are embedded into the material. So that way they go ahead and get a new mud seal there. And, you know, that's pretty much it. It's not rocket science. It's pretty basic.
Does it dry pretty quickly?
Yeah, it does.
Finish it in one day and
put
a few inches on there?
It actually cures up pretty quick. And so as they're layering it up or building it up, it's pretty much drying fairly quick. Not hard yet, but it's drying as they're doing. It's not like you would think of concrete where it's, you know, almost a liquid. Mm-hmm. It's not that at all. As they're spraying it on, it has a tendency to set up fairly quickly.
I would assume that that's probably a great application for hard to reach places underneath the house.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And it also bonds to the existing foundation. So if you have, you know, either brick or if you have stone, especially if you have stone, it'll actually stick to the stone and to the mortar. So then it bonds that in addition to giving you it's a sister wall is what we're talking about, but, mm-hmm. It just adds to the strength, more so probably than if you tried to get concrete poured in there into a form board as a sister wall. It's probably a little bit better. But maybe that's debatable depending on who you're talking about.
We're talking about foundations, but we're also we talked a little bit about chimneys, mm-hmm. and if those are foundations or – but there's ways of retrofitting that too. I mean,
chimneys?
I was reading through this. I've got a funny story. Years ago, I worked for a hard money lender. This is – gosh, this is back in 1992, and we had a property that we had to foreclose on, our small little company that we had that I worked for.
One of the first jobs. Evil banker.
And it was a second trustee.
Little old lady probably lived in there, didn't have any money.
No, it was a rental.
Oh.
And we had to foreclose on it, and then we put it on the market to sell. And 2 or 3 days before the close of escrow, it was back in the 90s, the big earthquake came, the whole chimney fell into the house.
Serves you right. See, that's karma.
Probably 1994?
Yeah, 94, okay.
That was the Whittier quake.
Yeah, because I graduated in 92, and that was my first real job out of college, was working for that. Yeah, it was the Northridge earthquake. And it was probably a 20, 25-foot chimney that went right through the living room and the dining room, just mm-hmm. tore right through it.
It's called a skylight.
Tremendous amount of pressure. That it just tore it apart, mm-hmm. and it also tore apart the post and beams and the post and piers. It decimated it.
Well, you know, you got tons of material that is standing vertical, and then you go tip it over. I mean, that's the inertia on that. It's a big word. I like that word. The inertia on that with that much mass times EY squared equals damage.
Wow. I didn't know we're going to get that technical.
It's like talking to Einstein, isn't it? In a matter of speaking.
Did you really say that?
Daniel wrote it down, gave you a note, and told me to say it.
Did we hit it all for all the foundations, all the different types of foundations?
I think we did. I'm exhausted.
Pretty basic, right?
Yeah, I'm exhausted. I don't even want to go home and look.
Do you have any inspections to do today?
No. I had to cancel them all because I did this show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how do you retrofit a chimney? Let's talk about that. An unreinforced masonry chimney.
Okay. Well, there's a whole thing with that, because if you're in certain cities, it dictates what you can and cannot do. Also, in different parts of the country, in California, especially down here in Southern California, we have the South Coast Air Quality Management District that has been imposing some very severe restrictions on what you can do with wood-burning fireplaces. And we have no burn days. I don't know if you knew that, but there are certain days that you cannot burn your fireplace.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good thing, but, you know, it's just one of those things that we're not going to have chimneys anymore, at least not wood burning. In Pasadena, they have even higher restrictions on unreinforced masonry. So if you have a chimney that has sustained damage, and let's say, you know, it cracked at the roof line and has shifted, in most cases, you are not going to be able to do repairs to that. They're going to require you to tear it all the way down to the foundation. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, before they implemented the restrictions on the fireplace and not being able to burn firewood, you could go ahead and rebuild it with a wood-burning fireplace, no more. Now you have to put in a gas-only fireplace, and they're generally the ones that are sealed that have the glass cover, the glass face, so that you can click a switch on a remote to turn it on, but you can't burn firewood in there.
What I did on my house, on my 1914 home, when I bought it 10, 11 years ago, is there was no retrofitting at all on that. It was just regular brick all the way up, but they kind of cut holes in the side of the chimney, and they put a whole bunch of rebar and cement, and they put this new clay flue going all the way up.
Yeah.
It cost about $6,000. Mm-hmm. It was a lot cheaper than the $25,000 bid that I got 10, 11 years ago
to rebuild
the whole thing.
Yeah.
But that's what I was able to do. I don't know if you can do that anymore, but
yeah, I don't know. I talked to
it's one solid piece now, I think. There was a lot of cement they poured in there.
Yeah. It's probably really good, but yeah, I talked to a chimney guy that I work with all the time. We seem to see each other a lot on houses when I'm inspecting. And yeah, he's having some issues with that because there's owners of houses here in Pasadena and San Marino that are older houses, but you know, he comes out and he has to tell them, I can't give you a wood burning fireplace at this point. So they're not happy with that fact that it has to be a gas only.
You know, one of the number one features for a home people have is, and this is a nationwide thing, is fireplaces. Mm-hmm. But in Pasadena, I don't think people really care that much.
It's not that cold.
It's not that cold.
No.
We're going to be wrapping this up. Dan, this was great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. This is a lot of great information. We're going to have some future shows. We're going to have some more legal experts. I have a show coming up on crazy real estate stories. This is a crazy business sometimes. Your wife's got a lot of great stories, too, I'm sure.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the most shocking quotes that realtors say. I have a friend who's an attorney. We're going to talk about the biggest legal mistakes buyers make and sellers make. We're going to talk about the best improvements that maximize value on your home and also the worst ones. And I want to thank you, Dan Leach.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Abby. Daniel, thank you.
You're welcome.
Dave in Chicago, thank you, and we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening to the Mike Bell Real Estate Show. Send me an email, mikebell@kw.com. mikebell@kw.com. This is Mike Bell. Talk to you.
The opinions expressed in the Mike Bell Real Estate Show are solely those of the host and do not reflect the opinions of anyone at TalkZone.com, Keller Williams Realty, any board of realtors, or anyone for that matter. Always hire a real estate attorney when making real estate decisions. Do not try any of this at home.